Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
Hey, welcome to the No Spin News. I'm Bill O'Reilly. It is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Stand up for your country. So I'm reading the letters to the editor in Newsday, which is my hometown paper, covers Long Island from the Queens Line all the way out to Montauk. And the letters reflected Donald Trump's visit to the Diller family during the wake of Detective Jonathan Diller over the weekend. To me, that was a good thing. And the family openly acknowledged it gave them comfort that the former president went out of his way to fly to Long Island, spend time with the family, right? Now, that's not what the letters said. They were written by Trump haters, you could tell right off the bat, and I understand the mentality of the Trump hater. I got it. But the point was that Donald Trump shouldn't get any credit at all for giving comfort to the Diller family because he was directly responsible for January 6th and the suffering of police officers there. And I understand that Whoopi Goldberg did that on The View today. I don't watch that program, but that's what the report is. So I'm looking at this, I'm going, so your hatred for Donald Trump, the letter writers in Newsday and Ms. Goldberg, overrides any good that Donald Trump could ever do. He can't do anything good in your eyes. That is truly hatred. And that will be a factor in the November vote, no doubt about it. And there's no way to get those people away from the hatred. You cannot reason with them. If they don't see that a former president's visit to a grieving family is an honor, what are you going to do? So I thought I would point that out. It doesn't have anything to do with our reportage tonight, which begins with the talking points memo about your safety, public safety. So let's call it crime, no punishment. Happening all over the country, mostly in urban centers. The rural areas and suburbs are calmer. But in the big cities run by liberal politicians, you are not safe, period. Boston is the best of them, and that's a fairly liberal city. I am going to go up there and investigate why Boston has managed to maintain control of the criminal element, whereby New York, Boston's big rival, Philadelphia, D.C., Chicago, L.A., St. Louis, Baltimore, on and on and on and on, have not. So I don't know what Boston's doing, but I'm going to find out. Now, as we reported yesterday, the man who shot and killed 31-year-old Detective Jonathan Diller was a career criminal. We went over that in micro detail. If you missed it, go to BillO'Reilly.com. We have the segments. We have the stats. If you're a concierge member, you can get the transcript. Okay? There is no two sides to that story. This man was dangerous, and the New York authorities let him out. Last April, a year ago, he was arrested for carrying an illegal firearm, even though he was a twice convicted felon and served time. In a year, that case wasn't even heard. And he's out on the street, and he gets another firearm and kills the detective. That's not a justice system. That's a collapse. And again, no two sides to the story. That's what that is. Now, perhaps the most powerful politician in New York State is a man named Carl Hastie. Carl Hastie. He is the assembly speaker in Albany, and he wields tremendous power. If you go up against Hastie, he can cut off your money. He can make your life miserable. So the leftists in Albany do what he says. Hastie admits flat out he is not going to enforce the laws of the state. Go.
I just don't believe raising penalties is ever a deterrent on crime. There's already things in current law to deal with people who assault other people.
That's not true, because the laws on the books are not being enforced, and Hastie well knows it, because that's the way Hastie wants it. So, he is from the Bronx. And in the Bronx, you have many, many, many poor people. That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's turf. Those poor people see life differently, even though they're being brutalized every single day by criminals. You see it differently. I'll get into that some other time. Now, in New York City, we reported on a man named Manuel Pagan, major narcotics dealer. He was arrested with 20,000 fentanyl pills. 20,000. How many people that can kill? You do. All right? You know what he got? He pled guilty because they found him with the pills. You know what he got? 2 years in prison. And he'll be out in a year and a half. 2 years. 20,000 pills. Fentanyl. Poison. Poison. Okay, how about the two men who beat up the police officers in the Bronx on November 13th, 2023? Their case hasn't even been assigned yet. Okay, so it's April, right? That's 4 months plus. They're due back in court June 3rd. Nothing's going to happen to them. Push it back, push it back. Why? You got it on videotape. I should have taken 3 weeks, court date, bang. Doesn't want to do it. They don't want to do it. Even if you beat up a cop or kill a cop. It's so unbelievable. So now you present all of this to the president of the United States. He is well aware. Well, that might be exaggerating it. He's been told about the violence in America's cities. And it's primarily driven by narcotics and guns because the drug gangs are armed. Here's what his press secretary said last week. Go.
This shooting is yet another painful reminder of the toll of gun violence, that what it's doing to inflict on families and our communities and our nation. And that's why the president signed more than 24 executive actions. That's why we're able to pass a bipartisan agreement to deal with the gun violence that we're seeing in this country. Obviously, more work needs to be done.
So it's always gun violence, not gun criminal violence. It's the guns that are doing it, not the criminals. And we've heard that a million times in the Democratic Party. That is their line. And it's total malarkey. If President Biden cared at all about the issue, which he does not, and this comes under a long line of things he doesn't care about, the southern border being number one. If he cared about criminals using guns to hurt other Americans. There's an amazing amount of things that he could do about it. He does nothing. He didn't even talk about it. He didn't even call, as you know, the family, the Diller family on Long Island, when he was 35 miles away in Radio City yucking it up with Obama and Clinton collecting money. They didn't care about it. Because the left, the far left, doesn't want to prosecute crimes because they feel the justice system is racist. That's what Hastie is all about. Hastie is, whites control it, so I'm going to break it down. I'm going to blow it up. He wants to blow up the entire system. He's well on his way in New York. Okay, I'm going to give you one more stat, and then we'll go to our next story. 80% of arrests in New York are not adjudicated fully. So that means even if you're caught, even if you're a thug who's caught stealing, mugging, assaulting, you have an 8 in 10 chance of getting off. There's no criminal justice system here. New York has collapsed, and that's a memo. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. All right, President Biden's schedule at 8 has nothing on his schedule. He did talk with Xi, the dictator of communist China, on the phone. I hope they had a nice conversation. We don't know what they said. The White House will leak out certain things, but that's impossible to corroborate. So he had the phone call. On Friday, Biden goes to Baltimore to look at the bridge that fell down. He'll kick money into Baltimore, no doubt about it. That's what he always does. All right, Donald Trump. So his trial begins April 15th, jury selection. Trump's going to have to be there because it's a criminal case. So he'll have to be in a courtroom in Manhattan 4 days a week. And that, of course, will cut into his campaign and everything else he does. Now, he's charged with illegally disguising reimbursements related to paying hush money. Notice the words, illegally disguising reimbursements. This is the Stormy Daniels case. So I'm sure you know about it, but just to recap, Stormy Daniels is a sex worker, and apparently she had an encounter with Donald Trump. A few days before the 2016 election, she got in touch with the Trump people and said, give me money or I'm going public and you'll lose the election. You know, some might say that's extortion. Anyway, she got money from the Trump operation. Now, I don't know any more than that. I don't know who ordered the money. I don't know where the money came from. You know, it's like $130,000 or whatever. I don't know. So Trump has pled, of course, not guilty to the charges. Now, Bragg, the DA in Manhattan who doesn't prosecute crimes, all right, is charged Trump with a Class E felony, even though this is usually a misdemeanor. But we all know what's going on in Manhattan, in New York City with Trump. The trial is expected to take 6 weeks, which is pretty long. I mean, I don't know why it would take that long, but that's what is expected. Joining us now from Washington is Roger Severino from the Heritage Foundation. He's a former trial attorney at the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. So he knows this is a state of New York case, not a federal case, but Mr. Severino knows what's going on here. So let's begin with Ms. Daniels and her demand for money. That sounds illegal to me. What do you say?
Yeah, it's so interesting, the twists and turns of this case. You would think that asking somebody for money to keep quiet might count as extortion and that perhaps Trump would have been the victim of this case. But this entire story has been flipped on its head. Trump is the one that's now in the hot seat because you have these roving prosecutors, not just in this case, but in others, trying to do everything in their power to prevent Trump from being president. This is not about law enforcement. This is about throwing anything they can to go after Trump to impede his ability to run and be, again, the president of the United States. In this case in particular, it's just dripping with ironies. So they say that this is a hush money case. Well, if Trump, in fact, was paying somebody to keep quiet, that's not illegal. There's no underlying crime in paying somebody to keep quiet. There's non-disclosure agreements all the time. It happens everywhere all the time. So then second, we had this case of campaign finance violations. That was the first step where people said, you know what, this was an actual influencing of a campaign. What you're doing was paying money as a campaign expenditure to help Trump win his first election. Michael Cohen actually took a fall. That was a lawyer of Donald Trump. He's a convicted perjurer and is now going to be the star witness for Alvin Bragg and the DA. He went down on a campaign finance case to get rid of his underlying other claims. He had a tax evasion claim. He hid $4 million in tax money. He had a claim for bank fraud, essentially, for lying to banks to get a loan. And to make all these cases go away, he also pled guilty to campaign finance violations.
Okay, so let me stop you. Let me stop you there. So Cohen, you're saying, is not going to be prosecuted on the other allegations against him because he has agreed to testify against Donald Trump. That's what you're saying, right?
He pled guilty to all those claims. It was a package deal for tax fraud, for bank fraud, for campaign finance violations of the hush money. So he pled guilty to all of that to make it all go away. The campaign finance one was the weakest claim of all. And now Alvin Bragg
But he had to say that he would give the government something in return. And that something is his testimony, right?
He gets the testimony, right?
Okay.
So he pled guilty.
I want to walk through this because it's complicated. Is there any evidence that's been put forth that you know of, because I don't know of it, that the money paid to Ms. Daniels to keep quiet, and you rightly say that's not a crime, but it would be a crime if it came out of campaign finance funds that were supposed to be used to propel a candidate in an election, right?
Yeah, arguably. But that's the thing. They never went after Trump for that. Those charges were not brought against him. They went after Cohen, and he is the one who pled guilty, right? So now it's taken one more step. So you didn't get Trump on any campaign finance allegations. And by the way, John Edwards, who ran for vice president, had a very similar case. He had hush money he gave out. He was indicted for campaign finance irregularities and violations. He won. He won. So the only other case,
right?
Yeah, he was acquitted. The only other case that comes anywhere near this, the politician won. It was not a campaign finance. Would you have expected Donald Trump to write on his books, I'm making a campaign expenditure for hush money? That would look far worse than giving money to his lawyer to pay the money, right? So, but Alvin Bragg is taking this set of facts and saying, okay, not illegal to give money to keep somebody quiet. If there's no case on campaign finance that was prosecuted, we're going to go for falsifying business records. That's the actual charge. 34 felony counts, falsifying business records. Who is the victim here that is being hurt by these alleged falsified business records, right? There was no campaign finance violation found. So they're alleging that, okay, despite that, we're still alleging there's this other crime. You didn't keep your books right. I mean, this is ridiculous that they're going to these lengths to go after President Trump, and they're going to use Michael Cohen as their star witness when now he's most famous for lying to Congress and going to jail for making false bank statements and lying on his taxes. This is the best they got?
Well, they got Hope Hicks now coming in on this case, former president advisor, presidential advisor, used to be Trump's friend. I don't know what Hope Hicks could know, or it's got to be hearsay. I mean, she's not in the accounting meetings, but they have press meetings. But here's my theory, Roger, and you tell me if I'm off. I don't think Bragg or the press or anybody else cares whether Trump's convicted or not. They just want 6 weeks of smearing him. That's what they want. And if he gets off, they'll go, but they just want to put him in a position where they can denigrate him and smear him consecutively for that long a period of time. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, and you see the writing on the wall. They're doing everything they can to prevent him from being the next president of the United States. And if that means doing this sort of campaign interference,
I think most people agree with that. Right. Now, the gag order is, but the gag order goes along with what I'm saying. So there's a judge issues a gag order to Trump. You can't talk about the case. So the media can run wild for 6 weeks and accuse him of everything under the sun, which they will. But Trump now can't reply to it.
That's right. Right. His best tool is being able to speak and make his case that he's going to go back and reform the justice system because it's been weaponized. It's looking like we're a third world country where you have these forces abusing the court system and abusing the law to go after the political enemies. This case
it's,
never
it's worse than a third world country. In my opinion, it's worse. You're familiar with the Nuremberg trials, right?
Yes. Right.
Okay. So that's what this is. This is a condemnation of an individual. And in the Nuremberg trials, they were stacked in with the Third Reich hierarchy. Okay. And, you know, and we say third world, which means the dictator dictates who gets convicted and who doesn't. Here, Trump will have a jury. Now, it's a Manhattan jury. That's very, very difficult for Trump. But what the government is trying to do here, the government of New York, by the way, let's separate it. Mm-hmm. Governor of New York is trying to destroy him through innuendo. They know the press will crucify him, and now he's under a gag order that he can't reply. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Nuremberg trials were just trials, and they had process. Here, you're having an abusive process and a persecution purely for political reasons, right? And the gag order is trying to take away Donald Trump's voice. One of his key points is he's going to reform the justice system to prevent this sort of abuse from happening,
right,
that he's prevented from talking about those very abuses in real time.
Or to correct the record as he sees it. But his attorneys better be on it. I'll tell you that. It's going to be a day-by-day horror show. Roger, thanks very much for helping us out. Really appreciate it. If you pick anything up in this trial that you feel is especially egregious or that, you know, people aren't understanding, just give us a toot. We'll throw you right back on, okay? Thank you for helping us out.
Thank you.
Right. All right, let's go to Cleveland. Cleveland, a nice town. Big German influence there. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A convention was there for John McCain. I spent some time in Cleveland then. Newspaper Cleveland Plain Dealer, very liberal newspaper. A media site called MediaBiasFactCheck.com puts it in the left-center biased. Boston University says it leans liberal. And there's no question it does. And I can prove that by telling you, paper endorsed Biden in 20, Hillary in 16, Barack Obama in 8 and 12. I mean, it always goes nationally for the Democrat. It did endorse Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican, in 22 for governor of Ohio. Now, the editor is a guy named Chris Quinn. He's been here for a while. Now, Quinn is a liberal man. And he editorialized, and I want to just show you the media mindset, because Quinn represents what's running newspapers all over the country. So the first thing he says, this is on March 30th, okay, Sunday. This is an editorial. Quote, our nation does seem to be slipping down the same slide that Germany did in the 1930s. Maybe the collapse of government in the hands of a madman is inevitable, given how the media landscape has been corrupted by partisans, as it was in 1930s Germany. So this guy is saying, this is the editor of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the United States is similar to Nazi Germany because the media was partisan in Germany. Well, the media really wasn't partisan in Hitler's rise, not like it is in America today. When Hitler got power in 1933, he just wiped out all the dissent against him. It was gone. And he enforced it by thugs, SS. And that's why it had nothing to do with the process of democracy. Hitler basically said, you're going to do it my way, or my boys are going to come over and either beat the hell out of you or kill you or put you in a camp in Dachau outside of Munich. That's how Hitler seized power. He didn't do it, all right? And this Quinn guy has no idea. The United States is not even anywhere near Germany. We don't have roving guys dressed in black uniforms coming to your house, and we never will, no matter how bad the politics gets. So that's number one. So that shows me that this Chris Quinn, he doesn't know anything. Second one, and this is unbelievable in the editorial, quote, as for those who equate Trump and Joe Biden, that's a false equivalency. Biden has done nothing remotely close to the egregious anti-American acts of Trump. We can debate the success and mindset of our current president as we have about most presidents in our lifetimes, but Biden was never a threat to our democracy. Trump is. Never a threat to our democracy? What's the open border, Chris? What's that? You don't think that's a threat to our democracy? You don't think 12 million foreign nationals running around unsupervised with hundreds of thousands more coming every month is a threat to our democracy? You don't see that? Are you stupid? You can answer that question. You don't see that Iran burned American flags today and a number of people have crossed the southern border that are on the terror watch list? Who do you think's coming across that border, Chris? Think they're our friends? 90% of them are, but 10% aren't. So this is the mindset. It's like the hate Trumpers that I talked about at the top of the broadcast, Whoopi Goldberg, and that they're just crazed. But the ignorance, this is the guy who runs the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Astonishing. Okay, RFK. He sees Biden as a bigger threat than Trump. Go.
But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal to Biden?
I mean, listen, I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court that shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that.
All right, Kennedy's referring to a case he brought in federal court that he was censored for his anti-vax statements. And he's won an injunction on that case, and it will be heard by the Supreme Court. So there you go. All right, Gallup says that 4 years after the COVID pandemic subsided, 59% of us believe the pandemic is over. But it's interesting, 41 don't. 41 still are wearing a mask, they're scared to go out, they want you, so 59 say the pandemic's over, 41 say no. But Republicans, 79%, say it's over. Democrats, just 41. Independents, 63, say it's over. The Democratic Party almost likes the pandemic. I don't know why. Why do they like it? Why they like the mask? I don't know. Smart Life. So this is renewal season for BillO'Reilly.com premium and concierge membership. 7 years ago, this month, we started the No Spin News and developed an independent news agency based at BillO'Reilly.com. We are the most successful independent news agency in the world. We are beholden to no one. It's just me. We don't have stockholders. We don't have a board of directors. It's you and it's me and my staff, which is excellent. Okay, listen to this stat. Our membership renewals are running at 88%. After 7 years. Unheard of. Unheard of. 88% of people who sign up to be premium or concierge members come back the next year and the next year and the next year. We got to be doing something right. Now, you do get a free book, if you re-up or sign up. And you can go confronting the presidents in the future. You can go killing the witches now. You can go back in the past. Whatever you want. It's up to you. Or you can go a mug. I mean, we'll give you the self-reliance mug free. So there are incentives. But this operation that you are watching and listening to right now is designed to enhance your life, to help you. Right? So we are very proud of our 88% membership renewal rate. Just go to BillO'Reilly.com, sign up or re-up. Okay, a new survey out of one poll, pretty good, Great Britain, 2,000 adults. This is an amazing stat. 40% of British adults have gone at least 3 days without seeing another human being, having a conversation with another person outside, I guess, of their family. And it's because they're on the internet. They don't ever talk to people in person anymore. They're talking to them through the internet. And this leads to all kinds of maladies. I mean, lack of sleep, addiction, all kinds of stuff. So if you're in that category, get out of it. Go out and, you know, have conversation in shops or whatever, but you gotta have some interaction. It's healthy. All right, this day in history, 511 years ago, April 2nd, 1513, Juan Ponce de Leon. It's Ponce de Leon. All right, the Spanish explorer sighted land in South Florida, and he called it Florida. In Spanish, means full of flowers, because it is. Florida is full of flowers. It's a subtropical climate there. So De Leon is a fascinating guy. He's tied into the Spanish crown, and all they wanted was gold. And they sent out all these explorers all over to bring gold back. Some of them got gold, some of them didn't. Fortunately, they brutalized the indigenous tribes wherever they were, and Ponce was in that category. He's not as bad as some of them, but he wasn't a good guy. But anyway, some of the indigenous peoples told De Leon of the Fountain of Youth, and they said it was located on the island of Bimini, where I've been. It's in the Bahamas. There was no Bahamas then, nobody there, but the indigenous people. So De Leon got obsessed with finding the Fountain of Youth, all right? And he ran around the Caribbean looking for it. He never found it, of course. I mean, if the Fountain of Youth was in Florida, there wouldn't be so many retirement communities, right? Anyway, De Leon died fairly young, 46 years old. He got hit with an arrow, a poison-tipped arrow, fighting with the indigenous people. And he checked out. So that happened 500 years ago today. Florida, I thought it might be called the land of condominiums, but there weren't any built at that time. So there we go. All right, I got a good mail segment. People disagreeing with me, we like that. We like people disagreeing, as long as it's done respectfully and fact-based. We don't want hysterics. And then we have a final thought about Holly. I want to bring you up to date about the terror dog. Bill at BillO'Reilly.com, Bill at BillO'Reilly.com. Name and town if you wish to opine. Back with the mail in a moment. All right, let's go to the mail. We got Kathleen. O'Reilly, I respectfully disagree about not forgiving some politicians. We should pray for wisdom and strength for our leaders to do what is right. To harbor an unforgiving stance keeps that anger within us. The battle is not yours, but God's. And I did say, Kathleen, I hope Jesus forgives them, because it came off his words on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But these people know what they're doing. That's the difference. The Roman centurions didn't. They do. Okay? Anyway, I hope if there is a judgment day, they are forgiven if they ask for forgiveness. That's one of the big things. You got to ask for it. You got to repent. Most of these people will not do that. But my job is not to forgive them. It's to confront them. That's my job. That's why I was put on earth, to do that with facts. And I believe we do it well. Rick. It is fitting that on April Fool's Day, you hope Jesus forgives these politicians. I doubt that God will overlook Joe Biden's pronouncement that Easter was to be observed in the U.S. as Trans Recognition Day. I don't get involved with any of that. I know what Biden's doing. Okay, I've already addressed his Catholicism and abortion, and that's far more important. Cynthia Highhouse, Portland, Oregon. Pretty sharp words you speak, O'Reilly. But sadly, the truth cannot be forgotten. What caught my attention a few days ago was a Democratic fundraiser in New York. Presidents Obama, Clinton appeared to cheer on Mr. Biden for fundraising purposes. That was a head scratcher. Why? This is a delicate question, but do guests that endorse at these events get a percentage of the money raised? No. No money changing hands. Both Bill Clinton and Barack Obama are dedicated Democrats, and they want Biden to win no matter how bad he is. And they hate Trump, to boot. Dory Trumbo, Sisseton, South Dakota. The progressive leaders in New York and elsewhere will now give lip service to solving the problems in our country and may even pass a few meaningless and powerless laws. This will placate their followers enough to vote for them again. Well, that's what the border bill was about. That's exactly what it was about, Dory. That bill that Biden came up with and Schumer chucked out there, that bill wouldn't have solved anything. Wouldn't have. So I read it. I know it. Daryl Frank, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mr. O'Reilly, can the slain officer's family sue the governor and the attorney general? No. They're indemnified. You can't do that. Diane Week, St. Joseph, Minnesota. Thank you for your coverage of Detective Diller's murder and funeral over the weekend. I do appreciate you bringing all of the issues surrounding the senseless murder to the forefront with your broadcast. As a mother who has lost a daughter, I am confident a call by President Biden to the Diller family would have caused more pain than his incessant reference to his own loss, the Bo Biden loss. Look, the way this is handled, Diane, and I'm sorry about your loss, okay, is that the president's aides call the family. This is what Donald Trump did. You call the family or the lawyers representing the family or whatever it may be and say, look, the president, the former president, would like to visit, would like to call. Is that okay? And the family makes the decision. Biden didn't even try. Trump did that, and the family said, yes, we would appreciate a visit. That's what happened. Keith Palmer, Cornelia, Georgia. I greatly admire your knowledge, O'Reilly, and understanding of history. Given that, at what point in history of the United States would you estimate the percentage of good people was at its highest level? World War II. Beyond any doubt, World War II was the high point in noble behavior in the USA. Good question, by the way, Keith. Thank you. Janet, great No Spin News, Bill. Was a pleasure to see Peter King, fine man. New York has become a sad symbol of the rot that is exploding in so much of our country. Largest city in the country, that's for sure. All right, we would like you to go to the BillO'Reilly.com store and pick up the Self-Reliance mugs. Great gift, especially for younger people. Can explain why self-reliance is so important. Okay? And if you sign up to be a premium member, you get a free mug or a book, whatever you want, as we discussed. Confronting the President's big, hot new book. Going to be out September 10th. Order it now. You'll get it first. You don't have to pay until we ship it to you. Killing Crazy Horse, another massive bestseller, on sale for $12.95 hardback. So if you're looking for something to read, there it is. You will not be able to put it down. Word of the day, no flummery. F-L-U-M-M-E-R-Y, flummery. Okay, when writing to me. Now, if you are a pet owner, get a pen and a paper. When we come back from the very short break, I'm going to give you some interesting information in a moment. Okay, let's go to the final thought of the day. 4 months ago, my corgi, Holly the Terror Dog, was operated on to remove a brain tumor. She almost died. All right, the great vets out on Long Island Vet Association out in Plainview, New York, saved her life. And the rehab on Holly is coming along very well. She's on medication, expensive medication, and her demeanor is almost back to normal with one exception. She follows me around everywhere. Now, she didn't used to do that, you know, but now she does. And when I'm studying Holly. And I call her a terror dog because when she was a puppy and we got her, and she's a full-bred corgi, she ate the living room. I mean, one of those, you know. But anyway, Holly knows. Holly knows somehow, instinctively, because dogs can't really process information. She knows what happened to her and how close she was. And now she's home in a very safe environment, which I have, and everybody in my house is safe. That's my number one job on earth, is to keep the people around me safe, and I do. All right? Now, it has cost an enormous amount of money to save Holly's life. And so I did not have pet insurance, all right? I didn't. I should have, and that was my mistake. So then we have investigated this, because obviously would be 100 million American a pet? I mean, almost that many. It's crazy. Policy Advisor, Policy, P-A-W-L-I-C-Y, Paw Licy, L-I-C-Y.com. That is an advisory internet site for pets, and they give you different avenues of insuring your pet. Take what you want. But if your pet gets sick, and the vet was very, very honest to me, because you have to be, you can't be deceiving me, that's not a good course of action. Most pet owners would have put Holly down, and because they didn't have the resources to save her. They didn't have it. Not $40,000. And it's going to be more because the medication is ongoing. Now, I couldn't do that. I just couldn't. I didn't even think about it. It wasn't even a hard decision for me. But I was thinking about people who didn't have resources. That if you have a pet that you love, particularly if the pet's not old, because the older the pet is and insurance gets out of control, you look around. It averages about $640 a year. This is what our researchers come up with for dogs, about $400 for cats. That's what the insurance averages, the cost. And, you know, I mean, you got to think about it. You definitely have to think about it. So I wanted to give you that information. We're very pleased Holly is running around. I don't mind her following me around. But by the way, I look down. She's little, so I don't want to kick her. You know, but everywhere I go, there's Holly. And looking at me going, and Holly knows. It's really an amazing thing what these pets know. You know, we have no idea, but they know a lot more than we think they know. Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. See you again tomorrow. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.